more relaxed.
Episode 23 of Drunk on Comics, starting now.
Hey guys, welcome once again to Drunk on Comics. This is our podcast about comic books, about conventions, about other nerdly little things that we like to chat about. So, hello again, guys.
Oh, G.I. Joe. Yeah.
Tony is with us today wearing his Cobra Commander suit.
Yes, the full body suit with the mask.
It is Halloween every day.
Oh, God.
I really think he slept in that last night.
Cobra!
Yeah.
Actually, I'm Starscream. Dressed up as Cobra Commander.
Yeah, so, anyway, guys, my name's Derek.
I'm Matt.
And then we have,
I'm Cobra Commander, Tony.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm
posting a picture of this later, by the way. So, for those of you that are Twitter fans and Facebook fans, you'll get to see. If you're not, you should be. So, anyway, guys, welcome to the show once again. We might as well just kick it right off and go right into Off the Shelf this week.
Yep, just our weekly reminder that we're going to spoil some of these books here.
We do ruin things. We give away stuff about the stories, about plot lines. So.
Mm-hmm. And so when you hear a title and you're like, hey, I've been too lazy and haven't read that book yet, even though it's been out for like, you know, 5-6 days or so, then you should stop, read your book, and then come back and listen to what we have to say about it.
Or if you like spoilers and you like getting spoiled, like Kim Kardashian with, you know, somebody's penis, and you just stick right with us. You'll enjoy it.
I'm pretty sure I know how that story ends.
in an awesome little video. So, all right, who wants to kick it off?
I think I will. All
right.
So, after last weekend, being at the convention, got to meet a talented artist, Yannick.
Yep, Peckett.
And he has started working on Swamp Thing. So I decided to pick up Swamp Thing Annual Number 1. I've never read Swamp Thing. I remember when I was younger seeing the movie on TV. The reasons why I picked up this book is because Yannick said he was working on the title. And I thought, you know, why not see what he does? Now, he only did the cover on this one. And it's the reason why I was picking it up anyways after the interview. But it's just amazingly drawn. From what he was saying,
who did the interior art on it?
Artist Becky Cloonan.
Cloonan? Oh, she did the Conan that you talked about a couple weeks ago, Matt.
Yeah.
Scott Snyder and Scott Tuft were the writers as well. One of the things that Yannick had talked about is it gets repetitive and dull always doing the New York skyline, but with flora and frogs, he really liked frogs. There's a lot more room to draw with a swamp. So
there's a joke there that's so easy.
So, anyways, looking at this from an artistic standpoint, it was a very kind of different book with the lot of the
Flauna is a Mexican dessert, Tony. It's a custard based.
All right.
It's delicious.
I like custard. or like your phone. I like turtles. Keep going.
Well, this story takes place during the Rot World saga, which from what I can grasp means the world is rotting. Since it's an annual, it gives kind of more of the overview of how this event started and who some of the key players are. I've always thought of Swamp Thing as Man-Thing from Marvel.
Yeah.
But besides them both looking the same, living in swamps, and having Thing in their name, there's no comparison. I mean, listeners can correct me if I'm wrong. Alec Holland, a.k.a. Swamp Thing, gets his powers from the swampy areas. In this town he went to go visit, there are no flowers or vegetation whatsoever, except for one type of flower.
So it's like a mini mall?
Yes.
Okay.
The town actually reminded me of like Latveria or something. It was like on the hillside, a small thing. There's like a castle.
But if it's a hillside, how can there not be any plants?
It can be rocks.
There's no, yeah, just rocks.
Rock side?
No, but there's one flower.
Okay.
One type of flower, but it's an evil flower because it's got necrotic energy. Like I said, trying to understand this whole swamp thing, this guy's a botanist, going to this place to study why they have no flowers or anything.
Except for the one.
What?
Except for the one
flower.
Does the one flower have a name? Does one flower have a name?
They call it the flower because it's the only flower these people know.
Yeah, guys, do not get the flower for your girlfriend. Because
no. Or get her the herpes.
This is the one... This is the one flaw I found about this was that Alec Coos decided to just... Because there's no land or anything around, he decided to dump some of his swamp seeds in this river.
Yes, I'm a child. Keep going.
And to give... you know, some swampiness to this place to give some more vegetation growing. Now, I say this in a scientific manner, but if Alec is a botanist, putting non-local species of flowers could really F up the surrounding habitat.
It's an invasive species without natural predation.
So I think Mr. Holland may need a little more schooling on messing up other parts of the world with his swamp seeds.
I don't even want to know how he gets the seeds.
Ultimately, though, those seeds save him because since he isn't near a swamp, he wouldn't be able to turn into the swamp thing. But the seeds heard Alec's need when he was getting beat up by this bad guy. And Swamp Thing emerges and rescues Alec and brings him to safety. Ultimately, excellent artwork. I showed you some of those pictures, yeah. And it was just beautiful, beautifully stunning. Like, man, I can show you this one. I just love that picture.
Nice background.
Yeah.
Incorporation.
So, overall, good story.
Are you going to start picking it up? That's the real question.
I can't just say I'm going to pick it up because I can't follow a botanist who doesn't know what the hell he's doing. But at the same point, the art is so mesmerizing. And, like, even I showed you, like, Swamp Thing has these powers. I have no fucking clue what he does. That I'm interested to pick up some back issues to at least find out more of what he is or what he does.
Well, and I'm not sure because I know on a lot of the annuals they had different artists and writers working on them than from normal. So
this is supposed to tie into the overall what's going on right now.
Right. But, you know, I mean, it's possible that if there's a different writer, somebody will correct me, I'm sure, because apparently if you don't read that one issue, you piss somebody off. but, you know, maybe they can explain. Yeah, you know, maybe the Zero issue is more like he was undergrad, you know, type of thing. So, cool. All right, I'm going to jump in here, Matt, and I want to talk about a book that I picked up last week at the convention, and it just hit shelves on Wednesday, so it was kind of cool that I had it a little early, and that is Bedlam Number 1 from Image Comics. Story is from Nick Spencer, who we had the pleasure of meeting very briefly. Unfortunately, didn't get to do an interview with him, but art is by Riley Rossmo. This book is, it's just fucking amazing. It's one of the best new books I've picked up in a long time. It centers around this psychopathic killer by the name of Matter Red. And Matt, you haven't seen this yet, so I'm going to pass this over to you. So you can kind of take a peek.
The cover reminds me of something that would be like the Joker.
Well, and that's funny that you say that. Now, the cover that you're looking at there is the Detroit Fanfare exclusive, which I picked up. So seen a few of them floating around on eBay, and they're going for quite a bit more than what I paid. I mean, that was a $20 variant, but I didn't mind buying it. The character of Red, he's the psycho killer who has killed, I think they said, thousands of people.
Yeah, thousands.
And, you know, he's been tormenting this city for years and years. Well, they finally catch him in this theater. And just kind of give you a little bit of an idea. He's killed this entire theater of people. He's got one little girl in there who he keeps playing poker with until, like, the hero of the town, which I think they called the First, is his name, shows up to catch him. And then he slits the little girl's throat. He literally just kept the little girl there long enough so that everybody could see how horrible he really is. Goes into custody. There's some cool stuff I'm not going to spoil on this because it's worth the read.
Oh, it is definitely worth it. It's perfect from artistic standpoint and not too wordy. Like I always say, I like to be able to get more dialogue and everything mm-hmm. to develop the characters, and it did just that. It was amazingly done and written.
But there's a little thing where he goes into police custody. It's awesome. The character of Matter Red, I mean, Matt, you mentioned the Joker, and he definitely has some Joker characteristics about him. I also thought he had a little Deadpool to him. You know, and Tony, you read it. You can tell me if you agree with that or not.
not on the psychotic standpoint, but on the just the joking around. Yeah,
the rambling. I won't shut up. I think this is funny. Nobody else does. Yep. Kind of standpoint. The art is amazing in that book.
Yeah, I love the black and white with red.
Yes. It's black, white, and, like, you know, washed gray tones with some red. And I think the red that really caught me were the thin red pencil lines and spots, mm-hmm. more than the large areas of red in there, like a full red dress or whatever.
Great way to show blood.
Yeah, fantastic. And later on, they do get some brown and sepia tones in the background. Mm-hmm. But there is, I don't think I saw any blues, any greens, any yellows, you know, any of those bright primary colors. So it's cool. This is a really, really well-written, really fucked up, twisted book. But the cool thing about it, it's not shock and gore just for the hell of it, to have that shock and gore. You know, it's more of a psychological thriller. Now, I should say there's definitely some violence in here, and just like our podcast, it is made for mature audiences, even though we don't act very mature at times. But, you know, I'm actually going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that because this book was so damn good, and I'm guessing that there probably wasn't a huge print run, I'm actually expecting this book to be a good one for collectors as well, because I think the rarity and the quality of it, this book may actually increase in value, which doesn't happen too often in the market these days. So if you like twisted, dark, well-written, beautifully drawn, psychopathic comics, pick it up. It's unique. It's scary. It's definitely not afraid to stand in a class all its own, and it definitely is getting two mugs up.
Cool.
So,
all right, I'm going to do some speed shooting here, and I'm going to review three books here, and I'm not going to say how long it's going to take me to do this, because I will, you know, maybe you guys jump in, but we're going to do this really quickly, because I've got... First one, I've got The Avengers.
You couldn't decide, basically, is what it was.
Basically, I couldn't decide. And, you know, we all know that I have to do an Avengers book. It should just be called Matt's Avengers Corner.
Or maybe The Avengers should just be called Matt's Book.
There you go. Matt's Book. Anyways, The Avengers picks off with the mysterious distress call coming from inner space. And as we predicted on the show, it was indeed the Wasp. And they did go to the Microverse. And everything's making sense to this point. Wonder Man's still showing up, being a bit like, hey guys, I want to help you. Oh, you guys don't want my help because I was just an asshole. And so he kind of goes away. Best part of it, though, Spider-Man is still making fun of Wolverine for being a teacher.
Nice.
I do love it. One thing I want to say, too, is they now have Hank Pym coming back to be an Avenger.
Yeah. Well, Hank Pym is joining
to help. And now that they got Wasp, too, they're getting, like, the original team back together after it's been at least 10 years since that's been...
And they make a mention of, I thought you died. He or she, they actually go to a place in Central Park where the Wasp died at the end of the Secret Invasion. But she says, I didn't die, I... And she's about to tell a story, but then explosions happen. And so, of course, we don't get to know what it is until next issue.
Cliffhanger. Bastards.
All right, so second thing, speaking of Wolverine being a teacher, we've got Wolverine and the X-Men.
Good book.
Yep, and the normal crowd is on that one still. But here's the thing that really gets me on this one. Is they've got an open position since Husk has taken a mental breakdown and has quit. Well, so they need another teacher.
They were going to fire her, but she quit first.
They were going to fire her if she didn't get, you know, psychological help.
Right.
But regardless, she's gone, so they have this open teaching position.
An open casting call for teachers, basically.
And really, like, Blade shows up first to be the, you know, teach all the children to become vampire stalkers of the highest order.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking to myself, why would Blade want to teach kids? And then you go through, and most of the people that they pick to, like, be teachers, it's not really serious so much as, like,
Deadpool,
hey, it's
really
a good place.
To.
It's a good place to joke. Yes, Deadpool was funny and predictable, and well, I understand Deadpool being there. My favorite one, though.
Okay, well,
what's your favorite?
My favorite was not necessarily because of what they're saying, but what's in the panel was the Sasquatch and Puck.
Oh,
because Sasquatch and Puck in the panel. There's a beaver holding a jar, like a jar of maple syrup, because they're Canadians.
Did I miss that in the background?
It's yeah.
There it is. Yep, maple syrup beaver.
Yeah. just like, that's fucking
I still
perfect.
Think the drama teacher and me love the fact that Longshot showed up. One, I don't know what Longshot's been doing, so I have no idea, like...
He's been on X Factor.
He's been on X Factor? Yeah. Okay. But I just love the fact that he goes, hey, I was, you know, famous in the Mojo universe, and, hey, I could teach your drama classes. And then he starts naming all these different Mojo-related titles of shows he's been on.
He keeps going on in all the panels. Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Deadpool goes on forever.
Dr. Nemesis says something about shooting children in the face with... hyperdermic needles.
I love what Spider-Man said.
Yeah, Spider-Man just wanted a picture. He's like, I couldn't believe that Wolverine's got a school. So, again, this ongoing joke of Spider-Man antagonizing Wolverine for being a teacher is pretty clever. I like it.
Now, that's half the story of this book, though.
That's a third of the story of this book. The other third of this story is Wolverine is trying to hunt down the people responsible for shooting Brew.
The Hellfire Club.
But the Hellfire Club is smart enough to cover their tracks, and they basically sent Wolverine on a wild goose chase, ending with him being in a graveyard saying, hey, we're going to kill all your people.
Yeah,
so Wolverine's pissed.
Yeah, empty graves.
More pissed than he's normally pissed.
Yeah.
And that was kind of just a scene right there. Well, the scene where the new White Queen was, I killed a horse.
Yeah, I shot a horse, and she's cooking the leg over a fire. we were talking about that at the bar last night.
She's twisted.
Yeah.
Finally, the other story in it is the Beast trying to bring back Brew. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten all the bone fragments out, and Brew is stabilized in the sense that his vitals and he's still alive, but there's no brain activity. And he's talking to all the big brains, the good big brains, and they mention mysteriously there might be one person we could get help from, but we don't know if we want to go that far. Dun, dun, dun.
Who do you think it is?
I think it might be the High Evolutionary. That'd be the one person I would think.
Sinister?
Ooh, Sinister but could they, be another one, but they're talking about Brew specialists.
All them, they all think he's dead. The only person that knows he's alive is Cyclops.
And they also mention the fact that it's somebody who's an expert in, would be an expert in Brood anatomy. I love that Spider-Man's research says, yeah, everything I find about the Brood is just about how to kill them.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And I got to go back and look a little bit, you know, and see like when they had that Brood run back in Uncanny.
Yeah.
And I might take a peek back at that this week. To finalize the story part about the teacher position being filled.
It's your favorite person, Derek.
God damn it. Like, why do they have to ruin the titles that I like? I mean, one of the reasons I've been reading this is because Storm isn't in it.
Now she is.
Yeah.
I used to like Storm. She's badass. Then she got all emo and punk
you know
rock.
What? After what she did to the East Coast right now, that's a thing. Like you really think, and that's not to. And I mean, I don't want to belittle the suffering of the people that are experienced from the superstorm. But you know, think about in the Marvel Universe, would anything like that ever happen? Like giant storms, because you have all these weather controlling people. Thor could just show up and be like, "Hey, Storm, go away," and it would dissipate. That'd be cool.
You know, actually, that's. Well, no, they wouldn't have devastation from that. They would just have devastation from all the infighting.
Picking up.
Yeah.
That's, you know, sentient
storms are like, well, fuck, New York's already destroyed by the Avengers anyways. Go hit up Seattle.
See, that's what I feel. I was actually thinking about that in comics, after like a big natural disaster like 9/11, comics were really good about like showing what people have to do to pick up their lives afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've been much more sensitive to that. That the catastrophes caused by all these heroes oftentimes leaves them having to rebuild or people homeless. And I kind of appreciate that nowadays that's something that's taken into account.
That we show a small bit in there.
Tony Stark's all about rebuilding things with, you know, Wakanda his billions and stuff.
And Kunlun.
And I feel like, you know, back in the day, it was like superheroes have these big battles and all this stuff happens and then... Just like
the next day, it magically grows back.
Yeah, I'm still wondering why people in the Marvel Universe, or probably even Metropolis in the DC Universe, or Gotham even, still live in the cities that they live in. Like I would be moving out to Oklahoma, but then you'd have Asgard falling on your town. So I guess no place is safe.
Anything happen in Florida in the comics?
It's where the zombie Deadpool showed up.
Right. And the swamp. Nexus of the universe is the thing.
I know Alaska's not safe because you got, like, you know, Cyclops.
It's too close to Canada.
Well, yeah. Alpha Flight, fuck them.
I believe Utah is probably pretty safe.
What's your next?
All right, my last one is the final issue of FF.
I love when we get off topic like that some days.
I believe it's Hickman's last issue with FF.
Yes.
Before, I mean, he's already working on Uncanny Avengers. But final issue of FF, Future Franklin is saying goodbye. In the Fantastic Four, we already saw Future Valerie say goodbye. And, you know, I really enjoy the fact that these threads have now been, or these seeds have been planted. These swamp seeds have been planted in this book, which will probably have repercussions in years to come with Franklin and Valerie from the future showing up. And also, you know, Reed's father. But it's just a nice touching issue filling up with the fact that my favorite part about it is that Franklin always feels like inferior to his sister. Because she's so smart. But Future Franklin kind of assures him that, you know what? Yeah, she is smarter than you. But really, you control reality. And reality controlling powers, you need creativity. And that's why Franklin always goes and plays in his closet. Because he's practicing his powers. But he's really learning how to be creative.
That's one of the reasons why I picked up FF to begin with. Was for Franklin Richards. He's one of my favorite characters because of... Ever since the Onslaught and Heroes Return and Heroes Reborn, when I started getting back into kind of picking up some comics nowadays, he was a main antagonist of that and having the pocket reality that he created. His powers, he's a mega-level mutant. Him, Scarlet Witch, you know, there's a few others that are that high of caliber, and he's just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing his future self talk about some cool shit that could happen or that would happen, but then saying, but we just we reset reality, so that stuff's probably not going to happen.
I still think one of my favorite parts about Franklin Richards is that his power is considered a mutant power. He's got the X gene, and his best friend is Leech, whose mutant power is to depress people's mutant powers, which is basically, he's like, hey, we're going to put you with this kid so that you can't use your powers, Franklin. But at the same time, like, they've become good friends. It's not like Leech is his jailer, but it's more like he's my best friend. And I really like the character Leech because he doesn't really have any powers except to shut remove powers. So, and he looks like a toad or something.
He really should learn, like, some jujitsu or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking it'd be in his best interest.
You know, I think at that school that he learns, like, geometry and stuff.
Well, one of the things in the back of the book too, Hickman kind of wrote a letter to the fans explaining what being the
being the greatest comic on Earth.
Yeah, and how he didn't get that title on the comic book when he first took over the ship, because they're like, well, it's not the greatest title on Earth right now, and Hickman has made it that. And he said, out of all the different comic book stores and everything, the one that Fantastic Four has always had, with FF being the same, you know, general theme, is family.
Yeah.
And when I read that, I was like, holy shit, that is so true.
Do you use that language around your family? Holy shit.
Yes.
My family. Fuck yeah, we do.
But ultimately, though, I mean, the X-Men, they're friends, they're comrades, this and that, but Fantastic Four really does have that
family, familiar, which is weird too, because even their greatest villain, Dr. Doom, is called Uncle Doom by one of their kids. So,
yeah. Overall, it was a good ending, good run, and I hope the future for Fantastic Four and FF will continue.
All right, so that pretty much wraps it up for Off the Shelf. Tony, where are we going?
Want to figure out, what was your guys' favorite part of last weekend? We got to go to the convention. We got to do a live podcast. We got to dress up
as really shitty Avengers.
Yes. Which everyone should check out online.
Dude, that was so much fun.
But what was your guys' favorite part of going?
My favorite part probably was the interviews. Like, I mean, I can't narrow it down to any one single interview, but just the chance to get to sit and talk with so many artists, you know, guys like Cena Grace and Yannick Paquette and Ryan Stegman and Ryan Lee and Matt Bush and Josh Werner and Jason Westlake and who else am I forgetting? I mean, we talked to so many people. You know, it was just cool to get to talk to guys that I'm fans of their work and I respect what they do, and find out, like, what it is that they like and get to ask them some silly questions.
Well, not only that, but find out some of them are fans of us, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
You poor souls.
That's actually always the weird thing. But actually, I think probably one of my favorite parts was because, you know, we had a chance to talk to so many of them. And, you know, Ryan Stegman, I got to meet him last year at Motor City Comic Con for the first time. Got a commission there, and he knows I'm a big fan of X-23. Matt and I went to his panel, and it was great because we're sitting there, and he's talking about how he did two issues of X-23, and Ryan just looks over, he's like, Derek, what issues were those? I'm like, 9 and 10, I think. I'm like, wow.
You were ass.
Yeah, he didn't even remember, but he knew I would, which I don't know what that says about me, but that was one of my highlights.
I think I'm going to have to go with two highlights. The first one was, this isn't to pander them and stuff, but I just felt that all the vendors, the people there, the artists there, the people trying to sell stuff were really nice and open and warm, and they like to talk about their work.
Yes.
But one of the things that I was thinking is that as far as creative types go, you get a lot of singers, you get a lot of actors who are like, I'm so awesome, look how cool I am. But all you can really do is take them on their word unless you actually go see their work. But artists actually have their work right there in front of you. Visual artists have it right there in front of you so you can see it. And you can be the judge whether or not you like the work or you don't like the work. And I just kind of felt that everyone... It didn't feel like people were being fake and trying to like sell an image that wasn't them. They were like really, hey, cool. I like what you guys are doing. I like what you're doing. You know, it was really positive.
And this was your first comic book convention.
That's my first comic book convention, too. Yeah, so I hope they're all as nice as this.
Yeah. You've been to other nerdy conventions.
I've been to other nerdy ones. Gen Con is, like, too big, and it just feels like you're lost in everything, and the people working the event are like, I gotta do this, and they're just kind of rude, like, following the rules. But, even the volunteers that were there, they just looked like they were having fun. And
yeah.
So my other favorite moment, though, was dressed up as Thor out front when busloads of San Francisco Giants fans came back to the hotel after they beat the Detroit Tigers in one of the games for the World Series.
Game 3.
Yeah, and just telling them that I was going to send them back to Jotunheim.
Yeah.
You're going to smite those Giants.
I was
going to
smite the Giants, and it just, like, the Asgardian puns that I was coming up with, not to toot my own horn, that was fun, but we were standing, Iron Man and I were standing
and I was
in costume in the lobby with a whole bunch of them trying to get up the elevators. And I looked around, and I said, look at all these, Brother Stark, look at all these people in their silly costumes of black and orange. And this guy in front of me, like, turns around, then laughs out loud at us in our costumes. And it just made me like, hey, you know what? Your sports teams, those are costumes.
Yeah.
And everyone loves to dress up in costumes. It doesn't matter. So it was just really fun, and... That was one of my favorite moments.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
My favorite moment was getting the chance to hang out with my brother and two of my really good friends.
Liar.
It's our family. No, liar. Just kidding. I really enjoyed getting drunk and dressing up as Iron Man and winning first place in the costume contest. Fucking love dressing up. I love Halloween.
Why you're still dressed up like Cobra Commander?
Because yes.
We cannot forget the visual image of us sitting around drinking beer and Tony dressed up as Cobra Commander.
And basically, and it's not that he's... It's not just that you think he slept in it. It's the fact that it looks like pajamas.
The belt doesn't fit all the way around him.
No, but seriously, I enjoyed the most when we dressed up that night, going to the costume contest, winning, but... Also, a lot of just the jokes that we made of everyone else. I love Matt making fun of the Frost Giants. I loved all the security guards that worked at the hotel, calling them SHIELD agents. Good job, fellow SHIELD agent.
Have
you seen
SHIELD.
Nick Fury?
Yeah.
So, overall, it was just a lot of fun. And
yeah, it was great. I mean, there were a lot of really fun times there. And I mean... Not to actually joke or get sappy, but no, it was great. Actually, you know, hanging out with you know, three of my closest friends.
Aww.
That actually was really good.
You drank enough to say, I love you, man.
I didn't say that.
I love you, man.
Yeah, you're not snuggling with me.
All right. Enough.
All right, moving on.
Enough of that
cheesiness. Let's talk about...
Let's get some news and notes started.
Okay. I'm going to bust in here because I picked up the previews this week because they came out and I had not opened them. And I just had a little nerdgasm when I opened it up. Uncanny X-Force number one, Sam Humphries and Ron Garney. I mean, I told you guys before, I'm super excited because I love Sam as a writer. I'm going to flip this back a little bit. You got Aurora sporting her old mohawk again, which I love. You've got Puck up at the top. You've got Psylocke. You have Spiral. And then...
Who's in the background there?
Yeah, Bishop's in the background. They're going after him.
Bishop, what?
Oh, nice.
But,
Bishop's wah,
Tony, who is that?
That's female Phantom X.
Yep. And
does he have, like, those creation engines or, like, the...
Well, here's the thing. They're referring to that character as the Mysterious Cluster. Now, if you guys haven't been caught up, Phantom X had been using, when he killed Kid Apocalypse, he cloned him and put him, like, in the world and raised him there. And in the world, Kid Apocalypse refers to Phantom X as Uncle Cluster.
Hmm.
So... I have no idea. I think I'd be...
Apparently, I got a lot of information on Phantom X to catch up on this whole world. Yeah. And
that makes me happy.
You know what? I think I'd be much happier with a female Phantom X.
No, I like the Frenchy type, you know, womanizing.
She could still be Frenchy.
And womanizing.
And womanizing, because the French are all like that. Yeah. I mean, we don't... There's no stereotypes in comic books.
No.
No, none whatsoever.
I bet you she has a vajungle.
Moving along. All right. So
yeah, that was my thing. I had to bust
and
it.
And that one is for Uncanny...
Uncanny X-Force number one.
And then what's the other X-Force? Is it Cable and the X-Force?
Cable and the X-Force. Nobody cares about that one.
Okay.
Yeah, we do.
And this is... I don't know when it's shipping. These are going to be shipping January.
Yeah, so there's a lot of titles that are coming out here in mid-December or later. So
yeah.
Happy Christmas.
Some quick tidbits that we talked about before, but now confirmed. Ryan Singer he closed the deal, and he is going to direct the new X-Men Days of Futures Past.
Cool.
Hopefully he can bring the same, I don't know.
No, he doesn't need to bring the same X-Men thing. He needs to bring a better X-Men thing. Because I feel that overall, I feel that with the Avengers and the success of Iron Man and Thor and all these Marvel heroes, the bar has been raised. And with X-Men First Class, the bar has been raised.
That's true, too. X-Men First Class was...
He needs to bring a really solid X-Men story and really solid characters and direction to the...
Let me ask you this. Would you be happier... if they just scrapped everything and started right over?
No, I think they did a really good job on X-Men First Class, that they need to continue their movie
universe
world
X-Men.
Of X-Men.
Yeah, because that movie world, like, but here's...
But I feel that you can jump in with X-Men a little bit more. I feel like you can jump in with a lot of superheroes, and a lot of people will understand who these people are and what their origins are. I feel that the... uninformed moviegoer who's just going to see the movie for the first time is starting to wean away, because when people are excited to go see the movie, they'll do an internet search and find out who these characters are.
Yeah.
Another quick thing to throw out there. So Joss Whedon's S.H.I.E.L.D. pilot is beginning to film in January. So that is definitely going to start happening sooner than later.
Cool.
Hopefully by fall we will have a fucking awesome show that the networks hopefully won't cancel.
What
but of course,
it?
It's Joss Whedon.
But Buffy went how many seasons?
That's true. Yeah,
I was just gonna say if it's on Fox, then
they'll show it out of order.
It'll have to be
understand.
On ABC. It'll have to be on ABC.
Yeah, probably it would be
Disney.
One other thing is Captain America: The Winter Soldier. They've started updating kind of the cast, and obviously, they're going to have Captain America and Bucky in it, because those are the two main characters. But they're going to introduce Crossbones. He is going to be played by Frank Grillo. We are also going to see for sure Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury. Kobe Smulders as Maria Hill.
Hell yeah.
and Scarlett Johansson is Black Widow. So what they're going to do with this movie is not have it small cast as what the first Captain America was, but ever since having the Avengers and more members to include on the in the movies, they're going to start expanding those.
Well, you know, Scarlett Johansson, the Black Widow has, you know, apparently been a really crucial character in the Winter Soldier storyline. It's partly because she is Russian, and the Winter Soldier is Russian, brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand her being in that.
Yeah.
One other
is Dolph Lundgren going to be in it, because he's Russian and I like him as Russian.
Yeah, and have
a montage.
Yeah, I will break you.
I will break you.
Okay.
One other thing, Spider-Man. There's an opinion going around of if it's going to get sold back to Disney Marvel.
Yeah, apparently Sony's entertainment division is not doing too well, and they're thinking of they're considering selling off some of their assets.
Rumors.
They're just rumors.
But could this mean Disney finally getting Spider-Man back? That would be fucking awesome.
It would be, but here's the thing. You know, I don't see Disney doing it right now. You know,
I love that we're calling it Disney now, not Marvel. But
it is Disney.
It is owned under Uncle Disney.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I don't see him doing it right now. And especially, here's why. Because I just saw this morning that they're already planning the Spider-Man sequel, and Jamie Foxx is going to be in it playing Electro.
Okay.
So, I think that rumor squashed like a spider on the wall.
Myth busted.
Well, and the thing, too, is that, you know, with these speculations that, yeah, maybe Sony's entertainment division isn't doing too well, but Spider-Man just did a reboot, and it did pretty well. So, of all the properties that they would sell, probably Spider-Man would be the last one to go.
Now, does Sony own that, too, for, like, the Broadway show?
The
Spider-Man.
No, they just own, because Marvel still owns the comic book, right? It's just movie rights.
Well, yeah, but I was wondering if they happen to own the Broadway rights.
Oh, I
probably not.
I mean,
I would assume not, but yeah, curiosity.
Could be.
I'm a nerd.
I don't think the show did too well, especially since...
I don't know. Like, I think it finally took off once people stopped, like,
dying. I want to still go see it if it works, but...
Well, yeah, like, once people stopped dying and breaking their legs and necks and stuff.
All right, well, I don't think anything else happened this week in anything nerdy, so I think this was
the biggest, like, dead week on news and nerd world
I know,
ever.
It's like there was, like, the star hanging over people that just caused death to anything that was interesting.
I mean, it's like, shit, I didn't even hear, like, a mouse squeak.
I know.
What are you guys alluding to? I don't know.
I don't know, but I just want to know if they're going to put big antenna on the Death Star now? Like giant satellites? Giant satellites on the Death
Star. I bet you they'll put about 4.2 billion of them.
Yeah, probably. Roughly. 4.2 billion? Is that what?
Guys, I'm so confused. Yeah. Me and the listeners have no clue what you're talking about.
No, listeners do know that you're a horrible actor.
I'm going to spoil this for you guys. Disney bought the rights to Lucasfilm.
What?
And the Star Wars universe that goes with it.
And here's the great thing. Once again, our powers of clairvoyance have predicted this, because on Saturday night at the convention, dressed as Avengers and Wolverine, we took a picture with David Prowse, the man behind the mask of Darth Vader.
We did predict this.
Yes.
I didn't even know that we predicted this until the prediction was made known to me.
We made it happen.
We did make it happen. So you can thank Drunk on Comics for episodes 7, 8, and 9. Or, I hope we're in the credits.
Or blame David Prowse if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But getting into the seriousness of this, what are you guys thinking is going to happen? Are we going to see more Jar Jar or more Death Star?
I think if they're smart, it's going to be more Death Star. But I'll tell you, there's not going to be more Jar Jar type characters. But
you think?
I'm pretty sure that
Okay, Jar Jar was an offensive black minstrel character. And if you don't know what black minstrel is, it's when people used to dress up, white, usually Jewish comedians would put black paint on their face with big red lips to say that they were African American. This was back in the days when racism was still okay.
Yeah.
And now it's illegal to do that. And yet Jar Jar Binks is a black minstrel character. I just want to punch him in the face every time I see him.
But come to think about it, you know what? That doesn't surprise me. Now that you mention it, I think there's going to be more Jar Jar type characters because we look back at Disney and you look back at Song of the South, the movie that, that cannot be shown anymore. Check that one out, kids.
All right.
I think your guys' memory, though, is really faded.
Dumbo with...
But you guys hold up...
The crows?
Yeah.
Those were all in the past, though.
Yeah, but you know that the main crow's name was Jim.
Yeah.
He was Jim Crow.
I know he was Jim Crow.
What the fuck's that got to do with Star Wars?
All right, you're talking about
Jar Jar Binks sucking in the
We're just
the
trying to educate our listeners here, Tony. All right, so
you guys are forgetting that there were Ewoks in 4, 5, and 6. So what are you going to call those? Those were the Jar Jars of our days, but we're okay with Ewoks.
They were teddy bears.
Yeah.
They're cuddly. Don't you remember the Ewok movies from a kid's
Yes,
time?
And they're
there
awesome.
There was like two of them. They're
but you got to look at it in perspective. People keep saying Jar Jar was the worst thing that ever happened. They put in this dumb character.
No, Jar Jar was the worst.
There's fucking
Hayden
bears that live in...
Hayden Christensen was the worst thing that ever happened to Star Wars.
But, all right, so here's my thoughts, though. If Disney plays it right, like they kind of have with Marvel, where Marvel has Marvel Studios, and they kind of have their control and their say about things.
Yeah, but Lucas fucked up 1, 2, and 3, so don't let him have any say in it.
But you find a good executive producer who's going to do it right, and you trust them to put it. Like they're trusting Joss Whedon put together Phase 2.
What if Joss Whedon does Episode 7, 8, and 9?
I don't think he would. But if he did, I would watch
Marvel,
it.
Marvel, Disney owns Joss now.
Especially if you saw the Serenity flying in the background.
All right, I will watch it if there's a Separatist and Federalist.
Well, one of the things you guys need to, you know, everyone's still knocking George on what he did with 1, 2, and 3. However, we just can't let him direct. We need to have him come up with the ideas. He created Star Wars. Mm-hmm.
He created Jar Jar, too.
But that's if there was a director, someone else that would say, you came up with the idea, I'm going to direct it my way and get rid of that.
Well,
we can't let the idea man have him come up with all these ideas because, shit, sometimes stuff works. Fucking giant toad monster, Jabba the Hutt. As a director, someone would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? But it worked perfectly.
It's because Salacious Crumb. I mean, Salacious Crumb tied the whole thing together.
I don't know. I just feel I'm excited about it, and it could be awesome. I'm hoping that it's awesome, and I'm going to stay positive.
I am hoping that it is a darker series.
I have a new hope.
No, shut up.
All right, do we have any other news?
Not really. I mean,
nothing that tops that.
No. We can still keep talking about it.
I want to go drive on the Indy Turnpike. What do we got on the Indy Turnpike?
You're ready to go take a cruise down the Indy Turnpike?
Yep.
All right, Indy Turnpike, where the hell did it go? This week, this is definitely a different one for me. This is the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund presents Liberty Annual 2012. It's published by Image. It is a $5 comic book. There are 16 different stories in this book, ranging from one page to six pages. And I'm going to rip off here really quickly all the writers and artists that they have. We got Jonathan Hickman, we got Andy Diggle, Ben Templesmith, Howard Chaykin, Cena Grace, Stephen T. Siegel, Marco Cinello, Joe Keating, China Clugston Flores, J.G. Rochelle, James Robinson, Jay Bone, James Asmus, Takeshi Miyazawa,
Tony McKay,
Richard Starkings, and Ian Churchill, Chris Roberson, and Roger Landridge, Chris Giarusso, David Hine, Doug Braithwaite, Brandon Graham, Jim McCann, Janet Lee, Kieran Gillen, Nate Bellegarde, Jordy Belair, Terry Moore, Robert Kirkman, and Charlie Adler.
And Gandalf the White.
Yeah.
The same people, right?
Wait, Jesus is Gandalf?
Read the story again, yes.
So I mean, there are a ton of different stories. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because this is a fantastic way for people to go out and get some exposure to artists and writers that they may never be willing to take a chance at. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's harmless. If you don't like it, well, fuck off. It was two pages.
Well, and it's you bought it, and it goes towards the Comic Book Legal Defense
Fund, which is a great thing, you know, out there. You know, one of the big draws for me on this one was the Walking Dead story. Mm. And for all you Walking Dead fanatics that think that there's some, you know, embargo on spoiling Walking Dead, we're going to piss on that. This is,
we can spoil it?
Yeah.
Spoil it like the zombies are spoiling in the midnight, or in the heat of the noonday sun?
Keep trying. All right. This is a story about the governor, before, like, when he was just getting set up. And it's kind of an interesting look, you know, you see where he's starting to turn and how, like, he wanted to make himself into a much harder person where things didn't bother him. So he gets the one guy to help him put all these fish tanks up in the room. And if you read the comic, you know that there's human heads in all of them. And at the end, the one guy's like, so what are you going to put in these? You know, he's like, where are you going to get fish? He goes, I'm not putting fish in there. He goes, I'm putting heads. I'm starting with yours. You know, so it's a nice gruesome little story. The one that I actually really enjoyed, though, was the comic. Or the Common Comic Conversation. And this is, I have to find it. This was by Chris Giarrusso. And it's great. It's a guy that walks up to this table going, oh, I love Mini Marvels. Mini Marvels is the best. It's you know, I love this about it. I love that about it. Oh, my God, you're the best guy in the world. And the artist goes, oh, you like that? Well, you should try this. It's exactly like it. And the guy just runs away from the table. Which I just thought was fun, but really cool way to check things out. You know, I mean, it's just a lot of fun. So that's pretty much it. Kind of gives you a taste of a whole bevy of indie comics all in one.
Mm-hmm. All right. I have a web link to share with you guys, and just the whole site is funny either way. You might die laughing.
Is it drunkoncomics.com?
Oh, that's up there.
Well, no, he said it's funny or you might die. So I'm guessing it's Twitter.
No, funnyordie.com.
Oh, it's Instagram.
Funnyordie.com. Oh,
but no, more specifically though, I mean, you can find a lot of stuff on Funny or Die. It's a great website for the two people living under a rock that somehow listen to us but have not heard of this site yet. But funnyordie.com/President Camacho. President Camacho is from the great epic documentary Idiocracy. That movie in itself is one of the most funniest takes on the futuristic world. And President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho is the president for the reasons of him being the smartest person at the time. This website has some PSAs and some what would you call it? Presidential ads for him running as president today.
Campaign ads.
It's that.
Because you won't be elected president,
Tony. I don't have enough brain cells. It's a good, funny, if you've loved the movie, you should go to this site and check it out. We'll have a link up on our webpage. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch the movie and fucking like the movie and then come watch this. You'll laugh even harder. Like I said, it's just a little gem that I found this week that I wanted to share with you all.
Aw, thank you.
Cobra Commander.
What's your booze in a book?
My booze in a book this week is Masters of the Universe, The Origin of Skeletor, number one from DC Comics. It is written by Jonathan Hale-Fialkoff, and art is by Fraser Irving. And with this, I'm going to suggest drinking an Original Sin Hard Cider from Indian River Brewing out of Melbourne, Florida, while you read this book.
From where?
Florida.
Where Swamp Thing grows.
He's spreading his seed with my daughter.
What about the book?
I'm sorry. See, now all I can think of is Swamp Thing banging a chick and watching her bush grow. So anyway, back to this. Master of the Universe Origin of Skeletor, Original Sin Hard Cider. The cider is tart. It has a 6% alcohol by volume. It's got a nice finish, full body. The book has got some real depth, and it's far from the look of the 80s cartoon. And I'm pairing these together because when people think He-Man and hard ciders, they tend to think like kiddie books and pedophile bait, but I'm telling you, these are neither. They're both actually really good. Well worth your time, well worth your money. So
it's actually badass.
Yeah, it's fucking cool. So anyway, there you go. That's it for booze in a book.
I don't have much more. And you guys got?
I got some last call books that didn't have time to review because I'm not Matt and picking three books because I can't choose.
Hey, I probably did those in the same amount of time it took you to review one.
Well, Hey, quality over quantity, my friend. No, I'm fucking with you.
That's not what she said.
Well, damn it.
Well, all right, what do you got? Last call.
Line them up, whore. All right, so I've got the Rocketeer number 3. It is Rocketeer Cargo of Doom. Robin Hood number 2. I mentioned it last week because it was supposed to have come out and I got to read it, but it hit stands this week. Idolize number 3. Well worth doing. Also, I do want to say thank you to another podcast out there called An Elegant Weapon. I think probably the best way of putting it is stoners that love Star Wars. And, yeah, so, but...
Stoners for Star Wars.
Yeah, but they
Stone Wars.
They gave us a really nice shout-out on their podcast and said some very kind words about us, and I appreciate that, and I wanted to say thank you. Again, I want to thank all of the artists that took the time to talk with us and do interviews with us, which we will be releasing here starting this week.
And the organizers of Detroit Fan Fair for inviting us to come along.
Yep,
and,
thank you very much.
To share in that weekend with them.
Yeah, so...
I want to thank Baroness.
God, you're so fucking dumb sometimes. It just... See, people at home don't realize you're sitting in Cobra Commander pajamas.
Which makes this all the more ridiculous.
Tony, do those have feet on them?
They do not. I wish they had feetsies.
It needs to be footy pajamas.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so I guess that's going to do it for us, guys. If you're listening to us and this is your first time, make sure you check out our website, Drunk on Comics, if you didn't find us on iTunes. Check out our Facebook page. Lots of fun shit going on there. Check out our Twitter. A little bit more of comics conversations going on there. There's plenty of places. So
we are
going
to be putting up our interviews that we did in the coming weeks.
Like yeah. Starting this week, kind of like I just said like a minute ago. Is that beer from last weekend?
Simpler times.
there's no ear holes in Cobra Commander's mask.
What?
Yeah, God. Why do there have to be air holes in it?
Hey, we hope you learned something because knowing is half the battle.
Yeah, check that out on Facebook. All right, guys. I am Derek on behalf of all of us here at Drunk on Comics. Keep reading those comic books, and we will be back again next week to talk about them later.
Serpentor! Drilling.